Sunday, and then I'd be some results next Sunday, and I'd be bouncing around all over the place. And so to do something continuous, it's been kind of fun. And even though I didn't start out with a series in mind, in fact, talked to Richard, we talked about maybe doing some books of the Bible. And then we also talked about some other things, which I'll leave for maybe a future day. And I said, maybe we'll do something topical. Well, it started out being topical. It became a mini-series. And these guys are still working hard over there. So let me just start in on my sermon. And when we catch up, okay? Let me just ask, how did this church, this last week, have an opportunity to show love? Did I get the wrong one?
We're receiving when we should be trending.
We'll get ourselves committed. Okay. Can you list in your own mind three or four ways that this church showed love? And I could back up. It's a wellness check. I had my wellness check this week. I got a heart. Still pumping. They found some other issues, and we'll navigate those issues. Being 70-ish doesn't work when you want to be 20. And I might have the thought pattern of a 20-year-old at times, but my body sure doesn't want to do that. Well, the same way, God would like to do a wellness check on us. And you can also say the doctor's in the house. So whether you like that or not, that's fine. I'll go with it. Hey, that's one of my bees on some ragu. Get all of that. That's not the important. There we go. That's where I want to start. You recognize that place, right? Okay, I just took that off the website, so I cheated. And I'm talking about a wellness check. And I asked you to think in terms of, okay, how did this church show love this last week? Three or four or five ways. And I can think of some, and I'm sure you're thinking of others. It actually been a fairly good week. Even in spite of the fact that like Richard and Susan, you know, they spent the night or two in the hospital, but Susan was being down. But the fact that she'd come back and she was in good spirits when we saw her. She was just joking. Are we still on an issue? Oh, that's a blessing. Because I was talking about Richard.
Heard that. That's fine. Okay, I'm on now, I think. This thing is maybe essential for some, but maybe for you, we had this apparatus, you know. We were just talking about some stuff. Okay, now, let me ask you a really tough question. And we're still on this wellness check. On a scale of 1 to 10, how well does this church do love? That's a tough question, but it's worth thinking about. If we say 10, that's probably prideful. That's like, yeah, you know, God doesn't particularly care for the pride piece. And if we say 3 or 4, we got trouble. Okay? So you know where I'm going with this. We got things to work on. One way or the other. Right? Okay? And then, as you thought about coming today, We live in a day of pronouns. What pronoun were you thinking about? I, me, we, them, you, us. What pronoun was it? That will sort of determine a little bit of the relationship that is ongoing here with you, what you have with the church body. And frankly, you've probably seen the title in the bulletin already. It's I Love One Another. And so that will be sort of the backstory of everything. But because of lack of love, many years ago, we have Islam. Because Muhammad was an orphan in a Catholic orphanage. And lack of love caused him to develop a separate religion. Look at the backstory. Today, we have many damaged Christians. All of us, actually, are crying. Every one of us. We're crying. Some more than others. And some have left crying. Hurting. We're wounded. And in this world that we live in, sometimes the only place that they can find that touch is here. Let me tell you a story about a dear friend. She came crying one day. And she said, I was in a hospital. We were no longer part of the church where she was attending. We were planting another church. She came running to the house, bawling her eyes out after she got herself mended. She had had a major operation, and nobody called her. Nobody visited her from that network. And she says, I can't go back. I said, well, then come with us. And she did. And became part of our system of what we were doing at the time. There was a couple. They left the box, and for 3 years, nobody called them. For 3 years, they were hurting. Now, we had the opportunity to touch their lives. There was restoration that happened. There's so many stories that happen. So many stories. And as a result, we now have so many unbelievers. Now, I want to jump ahead just a second and put up what I had there last week. The five components of a redemptive community. And I mentioned, and each one of them has a command verse in it, something that we need to do relative to it. And all of these have sort of a go language to it, where we're compelled to go. And we got a lot of good learning going on. And Greg, I talked about you last week too, you know, about the Wednesday Bible study, okay? We got learning and Richard's sermons and so forth. Beyond that, the first Sunday, we talked a lot about reconciliation. The next Sunday, we talked about service. And then last week, we talked about outreach. That of how we can go to our network. And hopefully, you're working on that list of 10 or 12 people and trying to reach them. And I said, I'm leaving the one that actually usually I'd start with, which is the core, and hopefully I would have an opportunity to come back to it, and I did, of love. I wasn't asking Richard to give me the pulpit today, but he did give me that opportunity. And in that context, we have had sort of a theme verse that we've brought up every week, and I just repurpose it there. Somebody want to read that for us? This has been our theme verse. Somebody want to read, please? Isn't that beautiful? That summarizes a lot of stuff for us. And so we have seen the greatest commandment is love God. And then the second commandment is love neighbor. And that is whoever you have close to you. And sometimes the neighbor is the one that actually lives with you. Okay? I heard some mumbling on that one. Okay, yes, my closest neighbor is Effie, and then I have my family that was here with me again today is my next closest neighbors, because we live on the same piece of property. Anyways, throughout the New Testament, there's 25 distinct one another's, and that in itself would be a series to take each one. To serve one another, to edify one another, to greet one another, to forgive one another, on and on and on. I won't list them all, but there's 25 distinct one another's. And the purpose of one another is to show that we relate as in body. And our context today, where we're going to land, is going to be a lot of in the book of John, I mean, the Gospel of John. And in the epistles of John as well. And so that's where we're going to be heading. But in the essence of all the one another's, we are members with one another. We are somehow connected and share the mutuality. There's a word. Do we understand the word mutuality? That's one another. Mutually. We're doing this together. And have to learn together and participate. Paul, when he's talking about being members with one another, is talking about our functionality, our mutuality, and this is in the context of our spiritual gifts. And so, in our spiritual gifts, we have to blend that all together. How we can work together as a family member. You're not on your own. You're not an island. And Richard said it a few weeks ago. I by myself am not church. I and Effie by ourselves are not church. No, we are two. Because it says two or three gathered. Usually it would be more, it's not necessarily husband and wife being considered two in that. It would be beyond that. So there is some commonality of working together. We belong to God and we are members together, one another in this. That means that we have a family relationship and that each of us have to go beyond just being superficial. It's not enough just to say, hi, how are you? That's superficial. Because he can say, oh, it's been a good week. Yeah, what does good look? You know, and then we can go from there. Anyways, we can't come to Christ and just hide in our little corner and never connect with somebody else. We have to have a relationship. It's all about relationships. Because every one another causes us to relate to the others in a personal and intentional way. I think each other teaches us how to be accountable to each other. And why would I be interested in the one another? Why? And that's part of our discovery this morning. So let's look at John 13, verses 34 and 35. And you have to realize, Jesus had just gotten through washing the disciples' feet, and he's getting ready to go to Gethsemane. And in the context of that, in this chapter, he breaks out and says, actually, I will ask one of you to read that. Feel free, anybody.
A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, and also love one another. By this, all men will know you are my disciples, you have loved
me. These verses talk about what? Love. Love, love, love. Okay? It repeats itself over and over. I did not underline it because I wanted you to discover it. And so, in the first place, we will see a directive for love, and then we'll find a demonstration of love. And there is no pretext why we do not love. It is given, and it's very clear for us. The word love, in its different forms, comes up 360 times in the whole Bible, and 146 times in the Old Testament. And when it talks about it there, the root of the word love is to give. To give. So to love means to give, is not to receive. That's clear, isn't it? Okay. And then when we come to the New Testament, the word for love, and a lot of you know that word, agape, that word comes up 214 times, more than in the Old Testament. And that means self-sacrificing. That means giving of oneself. Oh, we're back to that give piece. Okay? And only in the Gospel of John, and where we're going to camp a lot today, in the Gospel of John, the word love is used 12 times in chapters 1 through 12. And from these verses on, we have another 44 times in chapters 13 to 21. So it's like we have a crescendo of words of love in this last part of John. 10 times we are summoned specifically to love one another. It's like, three times would be enough, and we should be getting it. We got it at least 10 times. So let's take a little closer look at this first verse, chapter 13, verse 34. And God gives us this directive of love, to love. In other words, a command to love. A new commandment I give, that you love one another. And firstly, I want to mention, it's new. It's new. This directive, though, is not really new in the full sense, because we have it in the Old Testament do not be vindictive with your neighbor or bear a grudge. Love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Okay, we have to love those around us. It's there. And those that surround us, our theme verse, and we've just read it, you shall love the Lord your God, and then the second commandment, love your neighbor, and also mentioned in Matthew 5:44, where Jesus had preempted this discourse in just saying, love your enemy. Whoa, ouch. That one hurts. And then he sends us to do this mutual love, to love one another. The directive of love was new because he was giving love a new and a fresh meaning. It wasn't the same as it had been. New does not mean new as to time. It means that love has become important for God in the Old Testament and now in the New Testament and into the... It's not that something was finished and now we have a whole new car. The old car's gone and we got a new car. No. He was adding, really adding a new commandment. I'm adding to this another commandment. And so it's the opposite of being finished. I got past that. So we have the greatest commandment, love God. The second commandment, love your neighbor. And a new commandment, love one another. Are you with me on this? We're going good? Okay. Now, here's something, and you'll see a strange name come up because I have had this copyrighted. Anyways, so we have a vertical relationship. Which one would that be? Which color? Red. And then we have a horizontal relationship. Which one would be that? Blue. And then the internal relationship. Love God. Love your neighbor. And love one another. You got it? Does that make sense? I hope, if nothing else, you take this picture with you. And that this stays. And this travels. And that this lives. Oops. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'll go backwards. So Jesus' new mandate to love one another comes with the idea of quality. I have to choose to be in whatever it takes to love God. That's the greatest. Love neighbor, love one another. This command also becomes new because Jesus defined what it means to love one another. He says, just as I have loved you, you must love one another. We can't invent an alternative. There's no other option. There it is. No excuses, no pretext. Just as he had just finished washing his disciples' feet, the Lord of the universe bending down and washing. Who am I to say I can't? Right? It's on me to love. To love fully. To love genuinely. To love intentionally. It means caring and serving others. That token of love that he did showed humility, lack of selflessness. Or he basically emptied himself and he gave compassion. Of course, there was a need. And he came to fill that need. Remember, God so loved the world that he gave himself for you and for me, our need. In 1 John, when we get there, we'll have several different passages that reveal love. And where God is love. He is the essence of love. It doesn't say, oh, God is lovely. No, it's not an adverb. It's a statement. God is love. He's it. He is it. God loves. And then within this context, we have, it is new, but there's also a command. It should be coming. It should be there. Oops, it was. Okay. Now, into the verse, we say, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I love you, and that you love one another. The you there is referring to the disciples. So by implication, it was first to the disciples. And we know it was the disciples because back in verse 5, he talks about washing the disciples' feet. But later it's declared again for us in John 15:12. I'll just read it. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Now, that was becoming more amplified for others. Then John 15:17. This I command you, that you love one another. It is going on, this amplification of the need. And John continues to repeat this four more times, right in his first epistle, and then into the second. You want to see? 1 John 3:11. For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. This is his commandment in John 3:23. This is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us. Believing and loving go together. They go together. You can't separate it. You can say, I believe, but if you don't love, okay, it does not compute. Okay. John 4:7. That's the one I got up there. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everybody who is born of God and knows God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Love, being born, go together. John, 1 John 4:11-12. Somebody want to read that one? Love, abiding, remaining, being perfected. Because his love is going to be perfected in us. Are we there? No. He's told me to love my wife as he loved the church. I got a long ways to go. I'm not there. I mean, we've been working on it for a few years. Okay. 2 John 1:5. Somebody else. Okay, this is referring to the time that Christ gave that new commandment. It was new for John and his the other disciples back then. And sorry, Olivia, I scared you. Oh, poor thing. Poor thing. I love you too, Olivia. Okay. She's starting to respond to. Okay. It was back at that time when he was talking to the disciples. Now John is many years later, now an older guy like me. He's about 70-ish plus. Because Revelation he wrote when he was about 80, which was a short time afterwards. Anyways, he was reminding the importance of this. That we love one another. Paul and Peter also wrote this. We won't go there today. But especially when we look at Jesus and sending his disciples forth, it was that they love one another as he had loved. How did he love us? John 17. He was kneeling, praying drops of sweats of blood. We talk about the Lord's Prayer. It's actually the disciples' prayer. The one that is, our Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. That's the disciples' prayer. That's the one we need to pray. But the one he prayed, the Lord's Prayer, was in John chapter 17. And he's praying, just as you and I are one, that they will be one, and that they will love each other, so that the world will know. Why does the world call us hypocrites? Because we don't love. They call us hypocrites because we do not love. And he wants us to break out of that I pronoun and make it we, us, you, the others, not the I. Remember that first sermon? He found the right spot, the right need that we all need to be loved. Which one of us says we have all the love that we absolutely need? Not one of us. We all could have a little tad bit more, or some a lot of love. Okay? And, you know, he paid the penalty for our sins through dying for us and giving us love. He demonstrates his own love towards us that, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. In John 15:13, he says, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. The definition of love then means to give life to others. To give your life. The word love in our text is agape. That is to be unconditional. Without saying, okay, if you love me, I will give you back. We don't keep score. It means to give. And hopefully there's reciprocal. Because the one another requires almost that it be reciprocal. So, as I've gotten ahead of myself up there on the screen, as we move into the last part of our verses for today, verse 35, and it says, and by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. What he prayed, he already told them. He had told them that all men, now in the prayer it talks that the world will know, but here it's talking about all men, all people. That the evidence is not so much here. Our evidence is out there. They will be watching, and they are. They are. Yes, they are. Friends, it means that you are you willing to identify and imitate Jesus? Spurgeon once said, the world loves himself, the Christian loves his God. What's that saying about us? To be a growing church, we have to be a loving church. This means that you need to be willing to obey Jesus and love just like he loved. They are my disciples. They are my disciples, he said, if they love one another. Let's listen to a passage. Romans 12:9-21.
Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. persevering through tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the faith, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be in the same mind one toward another. Same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the Lord. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will keep burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Love without hypocrisy. So they can truly say out there, they love. They love. Let's take a moment. I was debating this, and you can see probably my quandary, whether we try to do this. Can you go around and say to 3 or 4 people this morning, I love you? At least to somebody that you haven't said it to. You know, like I said to Effie several times a day, you know, so for me to say I love, that's a given, okay? But to somebody within the body and say, I love you. Let's take a moment and just circle it to say, I love you. Is that clear? You can circle it. We'll break up the sermon for a moment. Love you. Yeah. Love you. Love you, Stacy. Love you, Olivia. Love you. Love you. Okay. Okay, loving church. Hey, like let's come back. Let's come. Thank you, likewise. Okay. I failed to mention that the very first part of this was to show others our relationship to Jesus so that the world will know. I'm putting the outline up there now for you, okay? You know, that was that all men will know. That's to show our relationship. But then there's a second piece to that is to show to yourself your relationship with Jesus. Are you his disciple? The doctor's in the house again. Have you ever seen a disobedient disciple? No. No longer a disciple. No longer a disciple. Disciples are obedient. And he says, if you're my disciples, you'll love. And so we need to show ourselves that we are in relationship with Jesus. Okay? And we need to serve as a confirmation that Jesus is alive and real for us. Okay? Tozer, an old-time scholar, says that the final test of love is obedience. It's not the sweet emotions, not the disposition to sacrifice, not jealousy to work, but obedience to the command of Christ. We love as a genuine proof that we're saved. not to get saved, but to show that we are saved. Now, do I dare? It's been pretty good so far, but now come some warnings about what happens if we don't love. Stay with me. Don't run out the door, because here we go. First, somebody want to read? I might be best to read it, because these are a little tough. 1 John 2:9-11. The one who says he is in the light yet hates his brother is in darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. If you don't love, you are in darkness. Ooh. Do I dare keep on going? Okay. Here we go. I told you we're going to be in 1 John. Okay. If we know that we have passed out of death into life, and because we love the brother, the one another's, okay? He who does not love abides in, ouch. Everybody who hates his brother is a assassin. Whoa. And you know that no assassin, no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. We have darkness, and now we have murder. Two places that I don't want to be. We got a third one. If someone says, I love God, but hates his brother, he is a truth teller, a liar. For the one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. Amen. And by the way, liars don't go to heaven. The Bible says that. Darkness, murder, and lying. Ouch. May they not be counted with this boy. Okay. As we conclude today, the true test of a believer is regard to our love to God. It's a vertical relationship. And that has to be there. It's also a test of our relationship to our neighbors, our outward. But it's also a test of how we do this way. Because the world is watching and waiting for somebody just like you to be showing love. For God, the disciple is obedient. He loves what God loves and hates what God hates. He loves without selfishness. He loves with sacrifice. He loves completely. He loves constantly. He loves unconditionally. He loves mutually one another. And as we close today, before I pray, and before we do what's next, I'd like us to get into a circle and hold hands. The ones with the small children might be challenged with this, but let's make the circle however best we can. I don't know if we can make it all the way around. Thank you for doing this. Heavenly Father, you see this circle. May it not be broken because of lack of love. Bind our hearts together in love, one towards another. May that love be deep and grow deeper. May we show the character that you want as the God of love, and that we could be reflective of that here, outward, inward, around, upward, as we look to you right now to pour more love into us so we can give and give and give. In your name I pray. Amen. Join the two of you. Okay. And as we close, let's repeat those two verses that we have had for today. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, and that you love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Be on your way to love one another, love your neighbor, but love God too. Absolutely, fully, wholeheartedly. God bless. You're welcome.